So glad to see you guys again here on campus and also online. Today is a special day. We're closing down our series on moving forward, how to thrive in the midst of transitions and change in life. Because we all know life is full of change. And individuals tell me all the time, like, well, you can't use the word change because that triggers people. I'm sorry if you've been triggered. It's life. We can call it other things like we are going to improve things. It's just a $10 word to make you feel better, but it's still change. But we have life and it's full of transitions. And today is a special day for our church, but it's also a special day in our world because what is today? What's tonight? All three of you know it's the Super Bowl. So whenever I speak on Super Bowl Sunday, I like to know kind of who's who's rooting for who. So who's all a Chiefs fan today? All four of you. Okay, who are Eagles fans? Okay, so if you're in my house, I like football, but Cammy always goes for the winner every time. It's the food. Who's all there for the food at Super Bowl? Cammy, they're your people. Also, this week is really important. This is your PSA, especially for you men in the church. Friday is, it's not my birthday, it's Valentine's Day. So, remember that. How many of you guys remember that Friday was Valentine's Day? How many of you guys forgot? Do not raise your hand. Your wife will elbow you. But Valentine's Day is coming up. So we've been journeying through Joshua 1, chapter 1 through chapter 5 in this series. We've discussed things like God is for you and not against you. That we are to value our history, our personal histories, where we came from, and also the histories of those came before us. To be strong and courageous. And you heard my terrible Hebrew with my word or phrase of the year, which is rock, kasak, ametz, or rock'em, sock'em, robot, if you want to. It means only be strong and courageous. That God provides friends and family to help us on our journey. To follow the presence of God, because we have a purpose. And it's time to step into the supernatural. And last week we ended with, remember what the Lord has done in your life and the lives of others. And we handed out these rocks. And we encouraged you to take them and put them somewhere to remind you of God's faithfulness to our church, faithfulness in your life, and that he's going to continue to be faithful. And we asked you to place those somewhere where people would see them. It's not something that we just keep to ourselves. It's something we share with the world around us. And hopefully someone will come by and say, why do you have that rock on your desk or on your windowsill or wherever you place it? And you can say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about his faithfulness. If you weren't with us last week, we do have some more of those rocks in the back as you exit on either side. So please pick one of those up and place it somewhere where people will see it so you can tell the story of God's faithfulness in your life. Today, we are going to end in chapter 5 of Joshua with one final principle. It's this. Health comes from rhythms of restoration and renewal, especially in new seasons. We need rhythms of rest and restoration and renewal in our lives. It's a time to refresh, to realign, refocus, and breathe. Some of us this morning need to remember we cannot live life 24/7 at 100%. We will burn out. There are times that we need to go full on, but there's times it's a cycle where we need to rest and pause and let the Lord renew and restore things in our life. When I grew up on the ranch, you would have a John Deere tractor, which is the best tractor known to man. You can argue with me after. By the way, it's a 4020 if you want to know the series. And the point was, you never wanted to run a John Deere tractor, any vehicle, at 100% of its RPMs. Why? Eventually, you're going to see smoke, and that smoke's going to turn into a blowing motor. And when you blow a motor on your grandfather's tractor, he will blow his gasket on you. I'm not saying I've learned that from experience. That might be why I walk with a limp. I'm joking. But we understand this, but we try to do it in our world. We tend to add more and more on. Because there's a time for everything, if we look at scripture. There's a time to move, there's a time to rest. Ecclesiastes 3 speaks to this. In verse 1 it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. If you read that, he talks through, there's a time to plant, a time to harvest. A time to be born, a time to pass away. There's a time for everything. So there's a time to rest as well. So a sub-point of this rhythms of rest and rhythms of restoration and renewal is rest and safety in supernatural living. Joshua 5:1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over. This is key, that their hearts melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. The hearts of the enemies had melted. There was no fight in them, if you want to put it that way. So we need to have a covenant mentality with the Lord, not thinking I can make it happen. What am I talking about? It says, well, their hearts melted because of the Israelites. But did the Israelites dry up the Jordan? Did they dry up the Red Sea? No, it was God in heaven. It was about him and his presence. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, this is a word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts also can be the Lord of heaven's armies. So often in our lives we pray, God, I need more of your power. I need more of your might. We're asking for an attribute of God, but are we really asking for more God? So many times it's okay to pray that, but I would say a better prayer, church, would be that we would pray, Lord, I need more of your presence. I need more of your spirit. Because where he is, he brings his power, his might, his peace, his love. He brings all of him to the conversation, not just the attributes. And we are at battle at times in our lives in that Lord of hosts, Lords of heaven's armies. We want all of him, not just a portion. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, when we follow after the Lord, the steps are ordered by him. He pleases the Lord God. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's what we're seeing here in Joshua, is that they follow the Lord and the Lord is having his their enemies be at peace with them. They're not coming out to fight. We find true peace in the stillness. We find true peace and stillness in the presence of the Lord. I believe for many of us in this place, we really need a lot of peace right now. We need some stillness, not stopping motion because our brains still keep on going. But it's true stillness in he is God and he loves me. Psalm 46:10-11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. We need protection. Where does it come from? The presence of God. He is our refuge. It's from that stillness and knowing that he is God. The Israelites had crossed into the promised land and their enemies were afraid. And if you're a natural guy like me sometimes, I'm like, okay, now's the time to fight the ones who are scared, right? We can win easy. They're cowering, their hearts have melted. We can fight and win easily, right? See, we have a crossing the Rubicon. It's from Roman history, where they cross the Rubicon and they go into Rome and they start fighting right away. For many of us in the Western culture, we think that, hey, we see our enemies are down, let's go punch them in the throat. Really, that's what we think. But God has a better plan because he is not so concerned about winning the battle because he is God of all. He can win any battle at any time he wants. Care more about the Israelites' hearts and their relationship with him and their covenant with him than he did about them winning the natural battle right then. So in new seasons, they might require us to have recommitments and reaffirmations of our relationship with God. I served you in the desert, but will I serve you in the promised land? I served you when things were hard, and on the mountain, in the valley, but will I serve you when things are good and on the mountaintop? So often as humans, when things are hard, we pray, but when things are good, we tend to forget the Lord, don't we? I'll do it later. I believe that for many of us, that sometimes the greatest issue in life is not the hard things, but it's when the good draws us away from God's plans and purposes in our lives. Distractions disguised as blessings. You know what that means? Think about your life. What's a blessing that actually has distracted you from God's plan in your life? Sometimes the greatest issue is not the hard. It's the good that draws us away. That's why you have to be so close to the Lord in an intimate, abiding relationship with Him. So He's guiding and directing those steps, not our opinions or the opinions of the world or even the opinions of the pastor. I'm just a man. I love Jesus, but I get things wrong sometimes. Just ask my son, Aiden. You're probably jerked right now. He gets things wrong. We want you to be close to Jesus because He knows the steps you're called to walk in. So this is why they needed to recommit and reinstate some ceremonies. These ceremonies of circumcision and Passover. They were to consecrate themselves, make themselves holy unto God, and be that community that the Lord wanted to use in the world. He set them apart from the other nations, declaring Yahweh is Lord of all. So circumcision, no one get worried. We did not bring knives today, so men, don't be concerned. Moms and dads, if your children don't know what that is, Merry Christmas. You get to have a conversation later today. By the way, if you have younger children in the room, you're like, how dare you? Well, you know what? We got a great kidmin for you. And they don't talk about some of these things, but we are adults in here. So circumcision, and all it is an outward sign of covenant with the Lord. That's what it is. It was outward for them. It was given to Abraham and it's passed down to the generation saying, we are set apart unto God. Talk about a way to commit to something. So all those who had been circumcised in Egypt had died in the desert, except for Joshua and Caleb, the fighting men who failed to believe in God and take the promised land. What was the issue? They didn't obey the Lord's leading. Joshua 5:6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that He would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that He would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. How often have we been the same way where we did not obey the voice of the Lord and we did not receive the land of milk and honey? There's still time. He's not done with you yet. So it sounds like we would want to follow the presence of God. The reward outweighs the risk. Wouldn't they be exposed to their enemies if they circumcised themselves? At least a few weeks. But God had provided safety for them. Remember the enemies, their hearts had melted. Lord knew what He was doing. How often do we think, God, do you know what you're doing here? He does. But it's okay to ask Him. He's a big guy. But sometimes we think that, God, do you know what you're doing? He's like, kinda. So the Lord provided safety for them to heal because of what He had done at the Red Sea and at the Jordan. Joshua 5:7-8. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom He raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Quick caveat. When you recommit yourself to the Lord, sometimes there's a process after you make the commitment, a process of healing. So as we've been talking about moving forward and making decisions for Jesus, there might be a time of healing that you need to go through. After you make the prayer, after you say the statement, what does that look like for you? God didn't say go make the commitment, then go right into war. He gives time and space for healing. Their sign was outward of their covenant with the Lord. Ours is inward. It's expressing itself. Our inward sign expresses itself how we love God and live for Him. Next week's message is loving God. So we're going to dig into this more at that point. But in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants. This is legacy here. to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. It's not just doing the right things. What's on the heart? We are a people of the New Testament. It's about our hearts. Not just about doing the right things, people, but where's our heart at? What of the flesh might need to be removed to restore and renew your covenant with the Lord today and then this next season? What might be blocking that relationship? Colossians 2:11. To him who are also, in him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. This is what we're talking about here. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What are those sins? What are those things that hold you back? Through the restoration and renewal of the covenant with God, they were enabled to take possession of the promised land by God's hand, not their own. So as you go into a new season, do you want to do it by your own efforts or by God working in and through you? That's why we have to have covenant mentalities. And this is the part that got me so excited in a good way for this church, is the next subpoint of removal of past burdens and shame. And if you want to go back to when I shared with the elders a series and it really was one message, this is really the main point I wanted to get to with following Jesus, but this was the second one, Joshua 5:9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Gilgal means rolling. Roll away the reproach, the shame. We all deal with reproach and shame of our past. And God wants to roll it away this morning so we can truly be renewed and restored in him. Church, we need to stop carrying the weights of our shame of our past. We need to stop carrying the weights of the pain of our past. And like I said, it's going to be a process to walk this out, but we have to make that choice to release it. As Meredith talked about letting go, Joseph talked about letting it go in fresh winds. God wants to do something special in our lives today and moving forward. In our lives, when we enter a new season, what might the Lord want us to roll off? What is that thing that he's speaking to you right now? I believe he's speaking to every one of us. Hopefully it wasn't about 3 o'clock in the morning when he started talking to me about what needs to be rolled off. I keep on talking to the Lord. I'm like, there's another 3 o'clock in the day, not just a.m., there's a p.m., Lord. Maybe he's on military time. I'm not sure. But what reproach or shame are you carrying today? I want you to really listen to that. What are you carrying today that's bending you over? The picture I saw as I was praying through this last week is we walk around like this spiritually. What is the pack on our back that we can't even look up to God that is so heavy? That's giving us bad backs and weak knees. The Lord says, I want to take it off, but you've got to release it to me. What sin is it? What hindrance? What fear? What pain? What offense with someone or some place? What bitterness? What failure? What desire that has not been fulfilled that you're saying, it's just a weight. I had faith and it didn't work. And it just keeps on mounting on our backs. What baggage is giving you that problem? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, some versions say hindrance there, and the sin that so easily ensnares, let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us. These will keep us from fully living the life God has. He has a great life for every single one of us. His plan for his glory. But we won't fully live it with the burdens that weigh us down. You might be saying, I'm not getting that. I'm not weighed down. Let me put it another way. What voice in your life is trying to be louder or is louder than Jesus this morning? What fear? What pain? What alarm? What is that thing that's trying to speak over the Lord right now? What name is coming to mind that their words from years ago, this is maybe for someone that still echoes heavily in your heart. That's actually one that God said, you need to roll that off today. It was actually some words from multiple years ago that I woke up at 3 o'clock with. I'm like, God, why are you doing this? He's like, you're talking about rolling this stuff away today, Virgil. This is what you need to deal with. I'm like, that's not fair, God. I'm getting to preach this. I am not supposed to live it, right? By the way, that's the wrong answer for our preacher to actually believe. I believe the opposite. I gotta live it same as anyone else. So we all have them, but only the power of Christ can silence them. Because worry will yell, and it does nothing for you. Sin nags, and it destroys. And bitterness rots. Why do we entertain those voices? Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. Those sins, those worries, that bitterness. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. The key part of that is their righteousness is from who? From the Lord. See, when we deal with these voices, it's not about us and our abilities. It's about his righteousness in us, which is Christ Jesus. If I go into a battle with my own armor, I fail every time. If I go into conversations and issues and war, when there's those voices fighting, and I say it's the Lord in me, the hope of glory, I win every time. It might take time, but I win. Not because of me, but because of him. Sins, cares, and burdens, they will always try to keep us down. But it's our choice to let them or not. We are not called or gifted or strong enough to carry all the weights we take on. So often I'm a father, and one of the weights that tends to come on you is, well, you need to be a good dad. Have you ever heard that before? And that's a righteous endeavor, but it's a weight for some of us as men. Why? Because we put it on our own shoulders. I need to be a good dad. I need to make every game. I need to get a Mustang car for my kid when he turns 16. They need to have all their college paid for. They need to, all the things. Look at social media. There's some really cool dads out there. It'll crush most of us. And it is crushing most of us. That's not a burden I'm called to carry. The only burden I'm called to carry is to love Jesus. To abide with him. And then he empowers me to be the father that Aiden and Megan need. Then I can be the husband that Cammie is needing. Not because I'm trying to be a good husband, but because I'm following Jesus. And that burden comes off my shoulders. And I can walk in freedom. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. What is that? Following him and following his model. What did he say? I say nothing unless the Father tells me. I do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. It's about relationship with him. It's not about us trying to figure it out on our own, but we got to come to him. So one of the things I have issues with, though, because I'm me, you're probably a lot better than I am, is every once in a while I think I probably should get a tattoo made because I take on these cares. And the tattoo I should get should be across my forehead. And this tattoo across my forehead, because I need to see it all the time, is that you're not God. Because our problem is when we take on all these cares and these burdens on ourselves, we start subconsciously saying, God, you might not be big enough. You might not have the right plan. I have the right plan. I've got a good plan, God. And God's like, not my plan. That's why I need to be told every day, you're not God. That's why I've got great people in my life, like my wife and my family. John, he's there to remind me of things. He told me earlier, don't get a tattoo. That'd just be awkward. Get a post-it note. Just get a post-it note. I'm like, that's smart. That's why you get the big money. I believe today, though, could be your Gilgal moment, the rolling away of that burden. It might be one that's been there for years from being a child that you took on and you're still carrying. God says it's not for you. It might have been something just this last week. It might even been something I said this morning, but it's not yours to carry. But you have to be willing to release it. So what does God want to roll off your life today and this week. And the last subpoint is there is reward for obedience. Joshua 5, 10 through 12. Now the children of Israel camped at Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate the produce of the land on the day after Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the same day. Then the manna ceased. And on that day after they had eaten the produce of the land, the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year, the land flowing with milk and honey. When they restored and renewed their covenant with the Lord, they began to eat the good of the land. They celebrated Passover only once in 40 years in the desert. Talk about a wow moment. They had heard about this as kids. This Passover, what God had done in Egypt, how he was their protector and redeemer and restorer. They went from eating the same thing for 40 years to eating various foods. Manna was food from heaven. In our vernacular, I would maybe say donuts from heaven. But think about donuts for 40 years straight. Would you get kind of tired of donuts? Yeah. Most of us say, no more. It's time for them to stop being nomadic. This marked the end of that wandering that they had lived for 40 years with no true home in the desert to the establishment of their own homeland promised by God, their place of being. When we obey and walk in covenant with the Lord through our relationship with Him, His leading and our obeying, we have an everlasting home with Him. If you have not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you're still wondering. You're still in the desert looking for a home. You can find all kinds of things to fill that place or try to be in that belonging. It's never going to fit what you're looking for. It's only in and through Jesus Christ, His death and His resurrection. And if you've not made Him Lord and Savior of your life, we would love to have that conversation with you so you can be at peace at home with Him. Because we are no longer searching for a home and a place to belong. We are home with Christ and belong to the family of God today and for all eternity. Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Willingness is having the right attitude, and obedient is the action. We have to have both in our lives. Sometimes we're willing to do anything God tells us, but are we obedient to it? Sometimes we're obedient, but do we have the right attitude? We need to have a synergy of those two mentalities and those two things, attitude and action coming together. And that's when we see that we will eat the good of the land. This is moving forward, thriving life through all life's transitions, is following Jesus, having the right attitude, and acting upon His guidance in our life.